Welcome back to Niagawani. Moving on, the government is expected to generate an additional annual revenue of 800 million ringgit through the implementation of a 10% capital gains tax, or CGT, which will come into effect on March 1st, 2024 next year, according to the Ministry of Finance, MOF. The revenue projection is based on the trend of share ownership transfers observed over the past few years. The introduction of the CGT aims to align Malaysia with international taxation norms. So to discuss further, I have with me, joining me in the studio this morning, is Dinesh Khanna, partner of Tratex. Good morning, Dinesh.
Good morning, Nabila.
All right, firstly, before we go deep into the discussion, what's your thoughts on this additional clarification by MOF? And I believe this new announcement will come with additional confusion, I might say. So what's your thoughts on this? Was it necessary, or they was just not prepared when they tabled the budget?
No, it's actually the normal budget process whereby on the budget speech, it's just the speech and the appendix, and then the finance bill is tabled separately. What is the finance bill? The finance bill is the exact wording of the law that we want to change inside the Income Tax Act. So that is always tabled separately. Every year has been like that. Cuma this year is a bit more, it took a bit longer. The tabling of the finance bill took place last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So within the last 48 hours. So if you look at the finance bill, it provides additional clarifications or reaffirmations. Some are clarifications, some are reaffirmations. Yeah, it too, first of all, the type of people in scope for capital gain tax is only if the disposer atau seller is a company, limited liability partnership, trust or cooperative society. Maksudnya, if Ms. Nabila own share in a company and sell the shares of the company, tak ada CGT pun. There's no CGT. Because CGT applies only if the disposer come from these four groups. Company, LLP, trust body or cooperative society. So for individuals who sell shares, there is no capital gains tax.
Not applied.
So that has been made super clear in the finance bill that was tabled in the last 48 hours. The other thing is that it was earlier announced in the budget that for the domestic CGT, it applies only on the shares of unlisted company. But if you look at the finance bill that came out on last Tuesday, the capital gains tax too on asset upper, the definition of asset is very wide. The definition of the asset covers all capital asset, movable, immovable. So this has caused some questions to arise. I think this is where it's important to look at this whole thing such as a holistic. The understanding so far is as follows. You look at CGT into two pieces.
Okay.
One is a Malaysian company selling shares of another Malaysian company. Kita panggil domestic CGT. Another is a Malaysian company selling assets overseas.
Foreign assets.
Foreign CGT. So for the second part, which is a Malaysia company sell assets overseas, memang the scope has to be luas, cover all capital asset, because that is an EU requirement, European Union punya requirement under their code of conduct group. That is why if you look at Hong Kong, Singapore pun sama, they cover all assets when it comes to foreign capital gains tax. But when it comes to the domestic capital gain tax, we would expect there would be further rules or exemptions that limit it to only asset yang tertentu, iaitu shares of unlisted company.
And considering that this CGT is applies to gains from both, not just domestic, but also foreign assets, how does this can be the favourite tax approach, and how does this contribute to the country's revenue gains?
Okay. So the foreign CGT, memang there is no choice pun because we have to do it. No country wants to be in EU's grey list, right? So that's why Hong Kong, Singapore, they like it or not, everyone have to do it. Kita tak ada option pun lah memang secara realistic. If you want to be an economic friendly jurisdiction with EU, the foreign CGT, memang we must do it. The domestic CGT, if you look at it, Singapore, Hong Kong is not doing it. Malaysia is doing it. So that is where the additional revenue expect comes in. That is our sovereign right, and understanding is taxes like this from the minister's announcement, taxes like this are preferred than the widespread impact of GST.
Mm-hmm. And the CGT rates display a unique spectrum, actually, and varying from 2% to 24%, whole wide range of percentage. And can you clarify when each rate is applicable from, for instance, when it's set at 2% and then 10% and maybe at 24%, which and when?
Okay. So as I said, the CGT, we always look at it in two components, domestic CGT, foreign CGT. Okay. So contohnya domestic CGT, Malaysian company sell another Malaysian company share. Ataupun foreign company sell Malaysian company share. Itu pun domestic CGT sebab asset tu dekat Malaysia. The asset is in Malaysia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this scenario, the normal tax rate is 10% of the gain. But we realise ada satu issue. Contohnya if Ms. Nabila is own a company and that company bought shares in another unlisted company 20 years ago. Tahun 2002, you bought the shares. And in 2024, 2025, you dispose the company. Yeah? Company A dispose the shares of company B after 20 years of shareholding. If you want to put 10% of the net gain, ada dua isu. Satu is issue retrospection.
Mm-hmm.
You are taxing the gain that accrued even before CGT was introduced.
Kan? Yeah, imposed. Mm.
Second is the documentation mungkin tak lengkap because you don't have the original purchase price and all the incidental costs incurred in between. So as a transitionary measure, kita kasih company A, disposal ini elect to pay either 10% of net gain or 2% of the disposal consideration. This is up to the disposer to pay 10% of net gain or 2% of harga jualan, disposal consideration. This option can be used only for assets that were purchased in before 2024. So for moving forward punya asset yang you buy in 2024, you sell in 2025, 2026, you don't have a choice. You must pay 10% of net gain. For asset that were purchased earlier and sold after 2024, the disposer company, the disposing company can choose to pay either 10% of net or 2% of gross. So itu pertama. Then the other side is foreign CGT. What is foreign CGT? A Malaysian company sell shares of a foreign company.
Different
or Malaysian company sell real property dekat luar Malaysia. That is also in the scope of foreign CGT. Or a Malaysian company sell a equipment that it has outside Malaysia and remit that money into Malaysia. That is also foreign CGT. Sebab scope foreign CGT tidak not limited to shares. Can cover all kind of asset. So foreign CGT, we will follow your corporate income tax rate, your corporate tax rate, which is 24%. Tapi, that 24% is applied only when the gain amount is remitted into Malaysia. So if the gain amount is never remitted into Malaysia, then the taxing point does not trigger, per se.
That's for domestic, Malaysian CGT application. But how does Malaysian CGT differ from those, the ones that apply or imposed in Singapore and also in Hong Kong, especially concerning that the treatment of foreign assets itself is involving listed shares and non-share assets? What do you think about that?
Yeah, so as I said, our timeline-wise, we are coordinated. For foreign CGT, both all Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, everyone has go live on January 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Just now the announcement was March 2023. Kan, that is
correct.
Actually for domestic CGT.
Oh, only domestic.
Tapi yang foreign CGT itu memang we need to follow EU. So tiga-tiga, Hong Kong, Singapore dan juga Malaysia is first January 2023. This is one of the clarification that we received in within the last 24 hours lah from the finance bill. So this foreign CGT sebenarnya is very similar. Whether in Malaysia or Hong Kong or Singapore, all of it, for foreign asset, we cover all asset, not just shares. Shares, lagipun shares, listed, unlisted, semua kita cover. So that is the consistent part with the all three countries. Mostly we tax at the point of remittance, that is another similarity. Another similarity is also all three countries, whether Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore, there is an economic substance requirement to exempt the foreign CGT from applying. So in that sense, our CGT, the foreign CGT component is very similar to Singapore, Hong Kong. but we also have a domestic CGT component that is a little bit different from the other countries.
But maybe last question before we end this discussion. How can you provide insights on how the CGT can actually impact the returns for investors, especially in unit trust funds and PE funds, considering that we investment in, that in Malaysia is unlisted Malaysian companies?
Yeah, so if you look at the exemptions given for domestic CGT, it covers IPO scenarios, it covers internal restructuring, and it covers venture capitalists. So again, whether the venture capitalist exemption would also be extended or cover PE investment, that remains to be seen. Unfortunately, even though we're just a few weeks away from the go live date of this taxes, the details of the exemption condition has not been announced yet. That is not even in the finance bill, because that would be a separate PU order for that. So that remains to be seen to what extent institutional investors would be given exemption to preserve the ROI, return on investment, for the investing bodies as well as their stakeholders.
All right, that was Tinesh Khanna, the partner of Tratex. Thank you for joining Anya Gawani and for sharing your thorough insights on capital gains tax and the new additional clarification from the MOF. And that's all I can share to you today. My name is Nabila Khalida. Thanks for watching.